Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I have to admit, though, after hanging around some A-listers,
yeah,
Omar Miller, not as exciting to me.
Oh, come on.
As it was a couple weeks ago.
He's an A-lister, isn't he?
No.
No?
He's definitely not.
Oh, man.
He's definitely not. But, you know, after I got a taste of the Don Cheadles,
yeah,
and the Jeremy Pivens and the William H. Macy's of the world, Omar Miller, not as cool. I'll tell him that when he walks in here,
you
too.
Better not.
Be like, you know what, Omar? Maybe another day.
Can we just do a phoner?
Yeah, today's not the day for you.
Yeah.
Today's not the day for you. All right.
Oh, you highfalutin.
No,
look,
you know.
You.
I'm joking around. I would never be like that.
Vegas changed
no,
you.
No, it did not.
The
no.
Rock or nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't want anybody else. You know, his wife in that show, I like a lot, his wife in that show, Omar Miller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know.
She's still in?
Yeah, the one with the short hair.
Yeah, I like that short hair, man. Yeah, she looks like
a fan of hers.
Ask about that.
Yeah.
No acting, is that for real?
All kidding aside, though, like, I appreciated every bit of that. Like, I'm not the guy who takes advantage of these things and thinks that it's, you know, I deserve something.
Right.
So, and I think that's why the Showtime people and I got along so well, was because they were getting all sorts of requests.
Yeah, share some of the stories you shared with me, these people trying to hustle the ticket folks.
Well, I won't use the names that were being used, but essentially what people were doing were they saw that the Showtime suite was somewhere because there was a sign in the lobby, and they'd go up there and say that some big named person sent them there for tickets, and they're going to be really upset if that person doesn't get the tickets. And then they have no, they're like, can you show me an email that says that?
Right.
Is there anything? And that's why I had like Mikey B and I had everything lined up to a T because I knew that something like that was a possibility. So I had email confirmation, I had all this stuff. And people would just show up there and like, yeah, well, this person sent me and they said that I better have tickets when I leave here. And they don't know what to do, the people that are handling the tickets, because they could be telling the truth, but chances are they're not. So then they have to contact the really important person and say, do you know this person? I mean, it seemed like a nightmare. So when we showed up there and we're like, listen, take your time. It's okay.
Right.
We're happy to be here. You don't have to worry about us. We have empathy for your situation.
Listen, I am really Greg Giannotti. This is really me.
No. There wasn't any of that.
Listen, man, I'm here to pick up tickets for, you know, so-and-so. If he doesn't get the tickets, that's going to kill this deal that he's negotiating with CBS.
That actually happened.
Right now.
Yeah, that happened. There was a person who said that if you don't give me this actor's tickets, that it's going to ruin the relationship that he's building with CBS because they're about to do a show together.
That is hilarious. But I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and they didn't end up giving the tickets because they had no way of knowing.
Why would they?
You can't just hand. And the face value on these tickets?
Yeah.
I mean, stuff you've never seen before. So they can't just give people these tickets if they, you know, on a whim.
Right.
Anyway, all right, it's time.
Well, they took good care of you, so thank you, Showtime, Steven Espinosa. Taking care of our boy.
Yeah. Love Showtime.
You do now, right?
I always did.
Yeah.
I always liked
Even
Showtime.
Even more so, right?
But now I've got a bond with Showtime that will never be broken. Time to ask the pros. You get to ask us a question, brought to you by Rally Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag Ask the Pros at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You get better parts, better prices every day. We'll have the parts you need to get the job done right with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. And the store's well-trained professionals standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Marquise in South Carolina on CBS Sports Radio. Marquise, what's happening?
What's going on? Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, I called y'all before the fight a few months ago, and I tell y'all I was happy for fight night Saturday followed by collection Sunday, and I got my money.
What did you have to put up to make any sort of money on Mayweather, Marquise?
Well, see, I don't bet no Vegas, man. I bet a bunch of idiots that don't like Mayweather.
Smart man.
So what did the idiots thought that McGregor would win?
Yeah, man. See, people don't bet on what makes sense. People bet on bias most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bet what makes sense. I bet $50 here, $100 there, and then I went to collect my money Sunday morning, and I went to Walmart and bought me a new rifle.
Oh, jeez. Got a new scatter gun. Okay.
Oh, yeah. What a weekend for Marquise.
Right in time for hunting season.
What are we hunting, Marquise?
Oh, man, I hunt everything. I hunt deer, coon, you name it. I hunt it all.
Wow.
Hunting some coon.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah. And I ain't giving McGregor no credit because, you know what, he got spotted 3 rounds. He ain't did nothing in the first 3 rounds. Mm-hmm. Run through 9 punches. That was the rope-a-dope comeback to life.
Nah, I have to give him credit. I'm sorry, Marquise. I mean, he hung in there better than I thought he was. I mean, the bar was low,
yeah,
and that's why I think a lot of people gave him a ton of credit because no one expected very much from him against Floyd. But, I mean, this could have been a total disaster. And it wasn't.
Right.
And McGregor really did hold his own in an environment that he shouldn't be holding his own in. And when people make the conversations of, like, or the comparisons, rather, of, well, it's like the best hockey player taking on LeBron James. It's like Sidney Crosby taking off the skates and playing LeBron one-on-one. That, to me, is a little bit extreme,
yeah,
that comparison. But it's you need to know the difference is huge.
Yeah.
It really was a difficult thing for him to
There are some elements of boxing in UFC, so it wasn't as extreme as those comparisons. You know, it's still a fight game. It's just a different type of fight, and you're not able to use all that's in your arsenal in the boxing ring as you are in UFC. So, yeah, you're handcuffed somewhat, but it's still similar, a lot of similarities than there aren't.
I bet $55 when I was there, and so I kind of was not telling the whole truth that I didn't bet anything when I was there. I just didn't sit down at the roulette table or the blackjack table or anything like that. Bet $55 when I was there. You want to guess what the $55 I bet was on?
Maybe a prop bet?
It was a bet on a sporting event.
Okay. The Jets.
No. I didn't bet the Jets under.
Oh,
I did
okay.
not do that. I put $50 on McGregor to win because the return was plus 400.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I didn't expect, I said it for weeks, I didn't expect him to win.
Yeah.
But I said if there's any chance, it's $50. I have a little action on the fight. $50 gets you 200 at plus 400. So I was like, you know what? $50, whatever. And the $5 I put in, which I never do, but you know how much I love Family Feud. There's a Family Feud slot machine.
Yeah.
And I had to play it. I said, it's a sign. I heard the music. I was like, Family Feud. It's like, I got to do this. Put $5 in there, of course. It was gone in 2 seconds.
Steve Harvey at the fight?
He was there. I didn't see him, though. He was there. That would have been a cool one. If Steve Harvey, he's a guy I would have had to go up to, even though he hates people, too. If Steve Harvey was at the pre-party, I would have had to go up to him and say something. Yeah, I definitely would have. Because not that I don't have respect for the people that were there, but I've got a ton of respect for someone who is able to host shows like he hosts and to have the improvisational techniques that he has to be funny every time to do that.
Still a great night.
Yeah, right. It was still a great night, even though I didn't see Steve Harvey in the pre-party.
I missed out on the food at the pre-party, man.
Yeah, the food food was good.
Food
was actually better at the post-party because they didn't have as much of it at the pre-party. The pre-party was all about the alcohol.
Mm.
The post-party was all about the
grub.
The food. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was funny because the people that, you know, he's my friend, as I told you, works at a poop plant. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, he works in a plant that, like, separates the poop from the water.
Wow.
So he...
Can we just say water treatment plant?
I just want to make sure people understand. So
water treatment plant.
Yeah. Wastewater facility. Yeah. Treatment facility is what it's really, if you want to put a euphemistic thing on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he works an overnight shift at this wastewater treatment facility. And in one of these places, like if he fell into like one of the vats of water and waste, like nobody would ever find him.
He'd look like Jack Nicholson in Batman.
He wouldn't look like anything.
No,
he'd be gone. If it's, so he doesn't know things like this. You know, like I've had a couple of experiences. He doesn't know anything like things like this. So you know, he goes up to the bar. And then you get a drink, and he's like, well, how much is it? I'm like, it's not.
Open bar, dude.
He goes, it's like that, really? You know, it was like bringing a little kid to Disney World, you know, Donald Duck's walking around. You know, it was like crazy. I almost had as much fun watching him, than I did myself. You know, it was a cool thing to see. All right. The lines will be open all morning for Mayweather-McGregor calls. If you're just getting in the car, heading to work, and you have something to say about this you've been sitting on yesterday, lines are open. We'll get you right on the air.
I got something to say. I'm still trying to figure out, is it Demi Lovato?
Demi Lovato, yeah.
Her singing of the national anthem.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
By the way, the number, as always, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Well, you know, what did you think was interesting about it?
Her way of singing it, the punctuation.
There was long
time.
Pauses, right? I mean,
long pauses, and then I don't know if it was. And everyone tries to put their own stamp on it, of course, and outdo the person who's done it before. Oh, I don't know if it was one of my. I do know it wasn't one of my favorite renditions of the national anthem.
Now, Mikey B put on the rundown. Demi Lovato crushing the national anthem. Meaning in a good way, right? You meant in a good way, not in a bad way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was...
It's all right.
I thought it was good, but to be honest with you, I didn't have a strong opinion on it when it was over.
Mm-hmm.
The only opinion I had on it was I could see she was nervous. Like, you could see her hand on the mic was shaking a little bit. And then when she was done, her lips quivered a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I like the fact that she's a little bit nervous here.
Oh, well, cool.
It makes me feel good. That she's like, she, you know, is a big star, a little bit nervous, she wanted to do a good job.
She'd hit the crescendo, the note, and it was just immediately cut it off. It just seemed like it didn't flow. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we can pull that? Probably not, right? I mean, it's showtime, so we can play it. But I don't know if there's any way that it's out there.
But no biggie. Good job, Demi.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dressed in all white.
Yes. Yes,
Demi Lovato.
She looked short.
I didn't see her up close. She also performed from Vegas. She stayed out there from Vegas on the VMAs last night.
Oh, did she? So the VMAs were in Vegas too?
No, they were. They did like a live thing. I think they were in L.A.
Oh, okay. And she's 5'3", Mike? Yeah, she is. That is short. 5'3".
No, it's definitely short. Yeah, but she, I guess, stayed there and they did like a live satellite thing performance. Okay. And she was, cool. she did her thing. Yeah, it was in L.A. The VMAs were in L.A., which was just, like, so weird. We'll talk about that a little bit later. It's just so weird now.
Okay.
If you're anybody over the age of 17 and you're watching a VM, like, Ellen was there. We might as well talk about it now. Who cares? So, Ellen was there, and Ellen DeGeneres, they kept showing shots of her just so confused. And she's someone who's, like, got her finger on the pulse of pop culture.
Right.
Like, she was just, her eyes were up like, what the hell is going on? Like, what is this? It just, Katy Perry hosted, she was terrible. All right, you got the Demi Lovato, is it decent quality? All right, so let's listen to the Demi Lovato national anthem, and we'll see if you think that Brian's right about it being a little bit different.
Oh, you see, can you see? Stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
sounds so good. Kids ride the line. There. It's like.
That's why I said long pauses. Yeah. I remembered that.
Yeah. Well, right there, she just stops. The word is.
Through the night that our flag was still there.
Mm.
Oh, who say does that star spangled banner?
Okay.
For the land of the free.
I'm not hearing what you're hearing, man. I gotta be honest.
We usually don't.
That was good. It was good. Hearing it again, it was good.
It was all right.
Nah, yeah. it was good. You can stand up now again. Brian took a knee when it started.
Oh, you liar.
Kidding. I'm kidding. You know, it's funny. When I'm at a sporting event I'm excited about and the national anthem goes on, like I can't stop moving. Like, I'm getting excited. Like, I'm going to go out and play.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I start, like, going back and forth, getting all fired up. There's something. And when people say that because of all the controversy we've seen with the national anthem, that we should not have the national anthem before sporting events, like, what's the point of it?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the national anthem before sporting events.
Yeah. I like the flyover.
It's like something, like, I don't know, because maybe my whole life we've had national anthems before sporting events and big ones, you get a big star singing it. There's something about that adds to the anticipation of everything. So, yeah, I was moving back and forth. Like the hockey players on the skates during the national anthem, moving back and forth. Oh, I was fired up. I was just got fired up again just listening to that. Let's go. Maybe I'll be a boxer. Maybe it'll be my thing.
You think?
I'll do it in the fall.
Come on.
Go to kickboxing or something.
Let's do it.
No, I'd last for like a day and a half and then go get a sandwich. Come on.
You quitter.
All right.
Can't quit.
Coming up next, preseason injuries and a really big one for the New England Patriots. Bogus update, plenty more. Keep it right here.
Check us out on Facebook at Gio and Jones.
Oh, man.
Of the people I mentioned, who would you have been most apt to just give a pound to?
Cheadle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is your mic still not working?
I just didn't turn it on.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
There you
I wasn't
go.
Expecting to make an audible agreement with Brian, but yes, Cheadle is the correct answer.
Cheadle's the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over Piven? Piven seemed to be a little bit annoyed to be anywhere.
Yeah.
Really?
I hear that this is tough because I don't know the guy, but the rumors around Piven is he's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I'm over him.
So, and he seemed like that. Like, he didn't show up there with anybody. He stayed, like, by himself for a while.
Okay.
He did talk to Colin Cowherd for a little bit. He did do that. But he just seemed annoyed. What about Akon? Would you have gone up to Akon?
No.
Talk to him? No Akon?
I don't know, but I have known Akon visually. I'm impressed that you did.
Yeah, definitely. You know Akon when you see Akon.
Of course. I don't think so.
Yeah, of course. So Jonas, no?
Nah.
No. Was Nick Jonas the most famous person there? As far as in the pre-party, I'm talking about.
I think Cheadle.
Now, see, I think William H. Macy is more popular. Is more famous than Cheadle.
Jonas, if you're judging by like YouTube hits and Twitter followers, he probably has to be.
Yeah.
Cheadle, you're saying Macy is more famous than Cheadle?
I think so. Yeah. I think he is. It's interesting. It's close. It is close.
Twitter poll.
It's a Twitter poll. But it's neck and neck. It really, you could go either way. I was equally excited to see the both of them. I'll say that much. And I was not. I was more upset that my wife didn't get a chance to see Nick Jonas up close than I was excited about actually seeing the dude.
Is he the one married to a Long Island girl?
Jonas?
One of them is.
No, no.
How many are there?
I don't know. I would be shocked if you were married. Nick Jonas. Come on. You can't be doing that now if you're Nick Jonas, are you? Can't be doing that.
Mitch Joe Jonas?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The Jonas Brothers after my time. They really were. I didn't know the Jonas Brothers very much. Doing More is brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. Masahiro Tanaka doing more for the Yankees. Struck out 10 over 7 innings, helping the Yankees beat the Mariners 10-1. More exciting baseball results right now with Andrew Bogish. What's going on, man?
Well, first, it's exciting preseason football.
Two-point conversion, down by one, final play of the game. Heinicke, quarterback, looking left, sees nothing, sprints out to the right. Taylor sprints to the five, dives for the end zone for the two and the win!
Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. Taylor Heinicke converting the two-point conversion after Terrell Newby's one-yard TD run as time expired.
Why are you giving us this part of the game when the real story is that the Vikings' first team looked like garbage? I mean, that's really what it was.
Maybe I'm getting to that, Greg, because this is why Mike Zimmer sounded so confused.
What we need to do is go back and figure out exactly what we need to be working on and put our concentration on that.
Sounds like a plan. Cincinnati starters did outplay, meanwhile, in the afternoon, their Washington counterparts, but the backups gave up 10 fourth-quarter points to lose 23-17, and Chicago topped Tennessee 19-7. The Bears might have lost last year's leading receiver Cameron Meredith to a torn left ACL. Chiefs running back Spencer Ware is likely done for the year with a torn PCL and other damage in his right knee. The Jets claiming D-lineman Coney Ealy off waivers from the Patriots, and the Browns naming rookie DeShone Kizer their starting QB. The Texans will practice at the Cowboys facility today and maybe longer. The two teams supposed to play at Houston Thursday night. The Astros will make a decision today on the three-game visit from the Rangers scheduled to start tomorrow night. The Washington Nationals held off the Mets 5-4 last night after a 6-5 loss in the afternoon. In the AL, Cleveland hammered KC 12-0 to finish off a three-game sweep during which the Royals did not score once. Whit Merrifield can't wait to host the Rays tonight.
We love playing at home in front of our fans, so hopefully we'll feel good going back home and be able to string some good at-bats together.
This is the first time the Indians posted three straight shutouts since 1956. It has them 6.5 games clear of KC in the Central. Clayton Kershaw will come off the Dodgers DL Friday or Saturday in San Diego. He struck out 8 over 5 with AAA Saturday. Kershaw's last big league start was July 24th. Because of a lower back strain. The U.S. Open begins today here in New York. Venus Williams among those in action this afternoon. Wildcard Maria Sharapova meets second-seeded Simona Halep at night, and Dustin Johnson beat Jordan Spieth on their first playoff hole to win the Northern Trust, the opening event of the PGA postseason. Boys?
I don't see how they can play that baseball game anymore. There's no way. All the freeways are underwater there in Houston. I just got a text from my daughter who lives north of Houston, and she said the neighborhood and cars are all flooded. Water hasn't gotten in the house yet, but will soon. I mean, that is just a mess that's going on in Houston right now, and all our thoughts are with those folks in the surrounding areas. The flooding is just outrageous. It's just amazing.
Yeah, the images don't look real, and it hasn't stopped, too, which is the
problem.
It's
just sitting on that portion of Texas, just camped out there, that storm has.
Right. I mean, we were talking about this late last week, and it's still going on. It's still getting rain. When you hear something like 50 inches of rain, it doesn't sound possible. And there's no place on earth that could handle 50 inches of rain without having serious issues. So some of the images, people in boats helping other people out.
Yeah, first responders are doing it. Is great a job as they can, and so, you know, stay safe, everyone in that area.
I don't want to rank natural disasters here, but flooding is one of those things that's just because it ruins. Like a hurricane could come through, a tornado could come through, you're spared of it. You know, flooding like this on this extreme level, this catastrophe that we're watching. I mean, your stuff is ruined for forever.
Yeah.
So, just absolutely brutal. Preseason football and injuries is something that comes up every single year. It's just going to happen. And I'm not going to do the age-old discussion of cutting the preseason down or leaving guys in or leave. I mean, it's just you said that.
No, that's a necessary part of the game. And Gary Danielson, who's usually in the booth during the SEC games on CBS, did the preview show with us this past Saturday, and he mentioned back in his day they had seven preseason
did
games.
Did you have six at any point in your career?
No, okay. Five was the most. But it was six. The normal amount of preseason games was six. They had seven because they had the Hall of Fame game 1 year. So just imagine, it was six preseason games. Then back then you only had 14 regular season games, but still six preseason games. And now it's down to four or five depending on whether or not you play in that Hall of Fame game. But it's necessary and it's needed for those young players coming in the league. The more opportunities they have to impress the coaches, they want them.
Yeah, and who knows, and I'm not an orthopedic surgeon or someone who's going to be able to give you a lecture on knee tendons, but who says that the Edelman injury, if he sits out every bit of the preseason, doesn't happen in week one as a non-contact injury?
Right.
I mean, we don't know the structure of his ACL. I mean, maybe that was just waiting. It was going to happen at some point if he cut on it. I mean, everybody assumes that the guys who get hurt in the preseason would have been healthy for the entirety of the regular season. That it was the preseason that got them and not just the game of football.
So are you just as disheartened if it happens in week one, week two, week three? Yes.
Right.
You are.
It still changes the complexity of your season. Yes. And if you could make the choice of it happening in week two or the third week of the preseason, if you're the New England Patriots, I would almost take the preseason because now you have more time to figure out how the hell you're going to replace them.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it sucks. There's no doubt about it. But next year, there's going to be a whole nother batch of players that's going to happen.
And what really bothers you, the fact that it's non-contact, and that's what, when you're playing at such a violent sport, and if you get hurt, you expect it to come from another defender, or maybe even sometime, unfortunately, it's friendly fire and it's a teammate that may roll your ankle or roll up on the back of your legs. But to be cutting out there and then tear your ACL, that compounds the anger and that you feel about being injured. So you're right. Having it occur now gives them ample time to try to go out and find someone else, or maybe that someone else is already on that roster.
Well, they've got enough guys. I feel like. But it's more the, you know, how is your offense going to adjust? Mm-hmm. And yeah, they've got a ton of weapons, but I mean, Edelman was one of those guys that you could see the offense change without him in there last year when he was dealing with his foot injury. It's a major difference. I mean, Brady looks to Edelman all the time. So, I mean, if Gronkowski can stay healthy for majority of the year, that's a big safety blanket for him as well. But, I mean, now you feel like the Cook's role might change a little bit without Edelman there. You don't really know how that's going to play out. Also,
or Danny Amendola, can he become the main guy as far as stepping up and being another security blanket for Tom Brady? He's been there a couple of years now.
Also, Spencer Ware goes down. Mm. You need to know the name Kareem Hunt, especially if you're playing fantasy football, because this is now, he was going to be the guy that was going to get a lot of attention prior to the Ware injury. I mean, now you're going to hear about it. He's going to get a ton of action. And he's super talented.
Very talented. Running back out of Toledo. Definitely, if you know the Mac, you know his name. A very talented running back. So now you have him. You have Tyreek Hill. And see how they utilize those two going forward.
Yeah, and Cam Meredith, I felt bad for him because he was one of those guys, speaking of fantasy football, that, you know, came out of nowhere last year for the Bears and got him off the waiver wire, and he had a great season. And I was and I loved watching him play because he had a big body, you know, really was impressive physically, and I thought he was going to have another pretty good year for a team that offensively might be challenged at times, and he now. With an injury that does not look good, and probably going to keep him out for the remainder of the season. And Vontaze Burfict, he looks he looks like he's going to get suspended. We'll talk about that hit next, and some NBA. Just when you thought something was done, not so much. Before we get to the great Omar Miller and some more talk about the fight, plenty to do on this Monday morning. Keep it right here,
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones. On CBS Sports Radio.
Calvin Harris has a residency at Hakkasan, the club in Vegas, every Friday night. He's there. Can you believe that?
Cool.
Think about the the money he gets.
Yeah, I know. We talked about this.
Golly.
Weren't you here when we were talking about these DJs and he was the top grossing electronic DJ? $60 million.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
$60 million.
Let's see.
Top grossing.
No, that does.
Electronic DJ.
Yeah, that does not surprise me at all.
You know, Vice had a show chronicled all these DJs. What do they call them? What's the technical?
EDM.
EDM.
House music.
Yeah, and it was Calvin Harris. I forget the other guy. A lot of them were in that $30 million range.
Tiesto.
Yes, he was on there. Tiesto. Yes.
Steve Aoki.
Him as well, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so these cats.
I think that's like the coolest job you could possibly have in the world, is that. I think that's probably it. The traveling the world and playing music to make people happy like that.
Yep.
And it's yourself, too. Yeah. You don't have to worry about. You see some of these
bands. Your equipment.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, these bands that have these personality conflicts and some of the best bands in the world had to break up because they hated each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you. If you don't like the way your computer's working, then
get a new one,
Get a new one.
I sat next to a guy one time coming from Austin up to New York, and he was from France. And he had been flown there just to DJ a party, and he was telling me about all the cash. He wasn't bragging about it. He was just saying it's very lucrative, this business, and it's getting even more so.
Vontaze Burfict is a guy that everybody has talked about for many years because of his dirty play and his nonsense out on the field. And there's no doubt, when some people are called dirty players, you have to think about it. Oh, I don't know. It's probably harsh. Vontaze Burfict is exactly that. I mean, he's a dirty player. He's got a history of hits like we saw the other day, and is now facing a 5-game suspension for his illegal hit against Anthony Sherman of the Kansas City Chiefs. And Sherman, who's a fullback, you know, is leaking out, uncovered, looking back to see if the quarterback's going to dump the ball off to him. And Burfict, instead of covering him or bumping him or getting in his face, launches himself into the player who is not even looking. And because of his history, could now be suspended for 5 games.
That's a play that we used to do all the time. Anytime you get one of those backs leaking, or even a receiver crossing your face, you try to get a lick on them. The harder, the better. But in today's game, they're not going to allow that. So while that used to be legal, now it's frowned upon, and he's going to be hit with this. And you've got the Bengals who are putting forth a defense for their player, and they've had to do this time and time again, unfortunately for Burfict, but they're saying if the shoulder pads hit the running back in the chest, he didn't go head hunting, and we'll see if the league buys that. I don't think they will. Once again, in today's game, defenseless and they consider this defenseless, they're going to throw the flag and they're going to suspend you. So I think you couple that with his history of always being in trouble and the viciousness of the hit. And it was a good lick. And like I said, we used to do that all the time. Anyone crossing your face, try to get a lick on them. But when you're Vontaze Burfict and you're playing in today's rules, it's not going to be allowed.
Yeah, and that's something that's preventable. I mean, there's some of these hits sometimes where the target area of a wide receiver changes dramatically in a split second. And when a guy is aiming to go shoulder to shoulder or shoulder to the chest of the guy, and then he falls down, and because it happens so quickly, it's so violent, he goes shoulder to head, and then it ends up being a penalty where you say, okay, it's not what he meant to do, but that's what happened. With this Burfict hit, I mean, this is just as blatant as possible.
Right.
And I just don't understand how you can't, after all these years, at least learn, because you're hurt. You're going to lose $1 million, close to $1 million in salary because of this. And your team's going to be hurting because you're one of the best defensive players on the team. It's just stupid. Why do you keep doing this?
That's instinct. And you've been doing it your whole football career. It's been fine, but now the game has changed.
And James Harrison changed.
The rules have changed. Right. He's going to have to. Burfict's going to have to. I'm not so sure he can. That would go unnoticed, that type of hit. Normally, but not in today's game. It's not. And he should understand that. He's got to change his MO, and I'm not so sure he can.
Yeah, at this point, he's got to find a way to be smarter and understand. I can't believe that no one's gotten through to him.
You know, and Marvin Lewis, who is a coach that has probably outlived his welcome in the NFL world. I don't know if there's... Yeah, I mean, there's been many, many playoff appearances, but it's the same thing over and over again with them. Do you think that he deserves some criticism with Vontaze Burfict in this particular suspension because of all the instances prior to this where he wasn't able to get through to Vontaze, you can't do this anymore?
Well, you can preach to him all you want. The other tact you can take is sit him. You can bench him, and maybe that finally resonates with the player. And I think that's all that's left that he could do. I'm sure he's pulled him aside and has had numerous meetings with his linebacker and tried to impress upon him that you have to play the game a little differently. You have to be a lot smarter than you have been, and you have to stay away from these egregious fouls that take you away from the team, take you away from our defense. You're one of our best players. We need you out there, and you're not just hurting yourself and your pocketbook, but you're hurting this football team as well. I'm sure those conversations have been ongoing and will continue to take place, but they haven't resonated with him. And while I had no problem with that hit, ordinarily you wouldn't, but when it's you and your history, Vontaze Burfict, and now playing in today's game under these rules, you can't do that. As much as you want to, as much as you've done it in the past, you have to understand you cannot do that. And they can protest the Bengals, and they've put out a statement about the hit, and they're going to try to defend their player. They can protest as much as they want, but you're talking about a repeat offender.
Cavs-Celtics deal is on hold because the Cavaliers weren't happy with the extent of Isaiah Thomas's hip injury.
Oh, my hip and my back.
So they're looking to restructure the trade with more assets coming their way. Mm-hmm. Woj, who's now with ESPN, said that they're going to ask about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
You can ask. But will you get?
I don't know how this is going to end up.
I don't either.
Because, as I mentioned to you, Brian Scalabrine said right after this trade, former Celtic who now analyzes for NBA Radio, that Danny Ainge loves Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
And does not want to part with the guy. And that was part of the reason why the Paul George trade didn't get done, was because they insisted on Jaylen Brown. He wouldn't give him up. Mm-hmm. And Jaylen Brown wasn't in this deal, so that was a big part of that deal getting done, or we thought getting done, with the Cavaliers. Jason Tatum, we heard Danny Ainge going into this draft. People were saying that he thought that Tatum was the best player in the draft. He said that after the draft, saying that he believed even if they had the number one overall pick that they were going to go with Jason Tatum if they remained there with the number one pick instead of Fultz or anybody else. So is he really going to end up dealing those guys now? No, I don't believe, because he's really convinced that both of them are going to turn to stars.
So who do you give up? I mean, now, the Cavs may have just threw those names out there because they know that how much the Celtics covet both of those guys, and so maybe that's just a negotiation starting point. Maybe there's someone else they would settle for on that roster, but who else do you covet on that team?
Well, they said that they were fully upfront about the extent of Isaiah Thomas's hip injury, and the Cavs saying they aren't. So, I mean, I don't even know where this goes from here. I mean, agree upon a trade like this. I mean, and how do you even go back? Well, I mean, I guess everything's pending on the physical, but I don't know how this changes. Yeah. I don't know if you're the Celtics. And Kyrie Irving, he cannot go back to the Cleveland Cavaliers right now.
He cannot.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
He cannot, and they've already celebrated him coming to Boston and all that, and now it seems that may have been premature, but who else on that roster would you settle for? That's the main question for the Cavaliers, and were they throwing out Tatum and Brown just as a starting point? When you get in negotiation, you throw out a lofty number and you're willing to meet somewhere in the middle. I don't know who else they would covet as much as these two.
Well, the Cavs don't have any leverage if you really think about it.
Okay, Kyrie, you coming back then? You coming home? Another coming home.
First, hip, no hip. Are they getting a better deal than what they got anywhere else?
No.
Probably not.
No.
I mean, you never know, but probably not.
And with the situation as tenuous as it is, with LeBron and Kyrie Irving and him forcing himself out and this deal happening because of Kyrie's demands to leave and the Celtics willing to part with certain pieces, to send those guys back?
I don't think you can. And no. Boston may have, you have to say that, and I'm sure the league will get involved. If you're Cleveland, it's like, okay, well, the deal's off. We're shipping Isaiah back to you. We're shipping Jay Crowder back to you. It's off. We can't have an injured player. We're giving you a guy who's 100% healthy, who's young, has a lot of basketball life left, and you're sending us an injured star. No. And so we're shipping him back. And now Boston has to say, well, we're not going to give up Tatum. We're not going to give up Brown. How about another number one pick? Will that suffice? Interesting.
I mean, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm thinking I'm just going to stand my ground here. And I'm not going to listen to any of this stuff. And if you really want to send these play, if you want to take Kyrie Irving back, you think that's going to work? And find a better deal than what I gave you, even with...
Would it hurt him?
Even with the hip.
No.
Even with the hip.
You can't send the man damaged goods.
Well, he'll be fine by the time that the season matters.
You sure?
What do you need a hip for these days anyway?
Yeah, what are they for?
Yeah.
I mean, yep.
You don't need a
pelvic.
Get the surgery. By the time you get the surgery, you'll be able to play in the games of
matter. Yeah, there you go.
Who needs a regular season anymore?
Yeah.
Just rest everybody. LeBron's not going to play until Christmas anyway. We all know this. So deal with it.
Who needs a hip?
You don't. Not in 2017.
No.
I don't believe that you do. You never had hip surgery, did
no.
you?
No.
That's the one thing you didn't have surgery
That's
on.
That's the one
the
thing
hip.
I've... Never had any problems with the hips.
Knees, bad.
Yep.
Back.
Bad.
Head.
Great.
Depending on the day. Feet.
I mean, you would... Oh, they're bad. Everything hurts. Yeah. Everything hurts. Now, you wouldn't... If you were the Cavaliers, you wouldn't want this deal. You'd be mad, upset, all that about having an injured player.
I need to know if he's going to be the same at some point during the regular season... Like before January, then I'm totally fine with it. I don't care. You want to sit out a couple of months? I don't care. Because it doesn't matter. They're going to be fine. And you've got Derrick Rose there who'll probably break his hip at some point during the season. But, I mean, you got Derrick Rose there to pick up the slack in the interim. If he's going to be okay, if you're telling me he's never going to be the same again, if you're telling me that this guy's not going to be the same player we saw last year because of this hip injury, then yeah, of course, I'm thinking twice, but he'll be okay.
I'm glad you're so sure.
He'll heal. What people do,
you wouldn't
man.
You take that deal. You'd be so upset.
I wouldn't be taking Kyrie Irving back, I'll tell you that much. I can't do that. And you're not getting a number one.
You better give up another pick.
Well, think about the Nets pick. It's coveted. They want that.
I know.
Gio and Jones coming back. Talk about the fight. CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.